Shamai, hello and welcome to In the Spotlight, a podcast from the lifestyle team at Wales Online, where we sit down with some of the biggest and best names in showbiz. We'll be finding out where our guests got their big break and also some of the struggles they faced along the way. I'm your host, Sam Cook, and this week's special guest is comedian Mike Bubbins. Hello, Mike Bubbins.
Hello there, how are you?
Not too bad. You've been having a busy week, haven't you, with the premiere of Mammoth?
Been non-stop this week, yeah, and going to be non-stop next week, but it's all worth it, isn't it? It's all worth it.
Are you tired?
I nearly swore then. I'm exhausted, yeah. And I got to go to London Saturday night. I got to go to Manchester Monday night. Sorry, don't I? Granddad was a coal miner, so.
And I watched the first episode of Mammoth. In fact, actually, I watched all three because I watched the first episode and I loved it. Where did the idea come from? Where did this kind of... I mean, you clearly love the 1970s.
Yes, you've seen the curtains. Yeah, well, I've always loved the 70s music and TV and fashion and cars and everything else. And just growing up sort of, you know, in the 70s and the early 80s. And Mammoth is just an amalgamation of, like, people that I knew and teachers that taught me. And then I taught for like 10 years myself. I was a PE teacher. So yeah, it was just, I loved it. I, like a kid, loved things like Buck Rogers and that, you know. I love the sort of person out of time thing. You know, people think it's a bit Life on Mars, but it's not that. I've never seen Life on Mars. It's, I think I love it. I've seen the pictures, but it's really like, you know, Rip Van Winkle and Buck Rogers and California Man and Captain America and just, and, you know, all these things where I just love things being out of time. So I was a big sci-fi fan as a kid, big fan of the 70s. So yeah, it's been brewing for a long time, but I suppose I wrote the first script, God, 7 years ago, I think.
And 7 years, and has it taken 7 years to get to screen? I mean, has the BBC kind of had interest over the years, or how's that?
Yeah,
worked?
So the first sort of version of it I wrote 7 years ago, and then I was doing the Edinburgh Festival, doing comedy up there, and then, I got chatting to the BBC after that festival. Mate of mine, Luke, who's another producer, was working, came to see my show and liked the show. We had a chat afterwards and stuff and about things that, you know, things that I was working on. I was working on the script for this. And I ended up getting it's not a full commission, but it's like the commission of treatment and various things. And I got so there was a process then, and it went back and forth and back and forth. I don't know if it's just the way the TV works. And then after sort of 4 years of backing and foring, if there's such a thing, with the pilot made. So BBC Wales took a punt on it and made a pilot, which was brilliant. Load of fun to make. And then there was another 2 or 3 years then with network and trying to get a network series away. So yeah, from start to finish, it's been about 7 years. But I mean, but I've loved that era since I was a kid.
It must be quite a relief now to actually get it out to the public, a project that's taken so long to make. It must be amazing.
Well, I wanted to make sure I was on the TV before Mammoth actually was an old man. That was the thing. I mean, it'd been another sort of 20 years, I was going to be struggling. So, with the screening on Tuesday, was it Monday or Tuesday this week? It's all rolled into one. And it was the first time that you know, a section of the public has seen it, so I didn't know what to expect. And that's really nerve-wracking because you're sat at the front there, hoping for the best. But, it was a lot of laughs and a lot of people are enjoying it, so very pleased. So we'll see what happens next week now.
The response the first screening, how was that? How did people generally find the episode?
It was brilliant. So we showed them the first two back to back, and yeah, it was crazy. It was in a cinema in Cardiff, and I'm talking to my agent afterwards, and he said the thing is, people, some of the punchlines you wrote got missed because people were still laughing too much from the previous one. I said, well, that's a good thing. If people are missing jokes because they're laughing too much, then yeah, that's a nice way to be.
And I mean, the humour of the 1970s compared to the humour of today is very, very different. And I imagine there are certain boundaries to that. I mean, how did you find it writing humour that is potentially kind of in the past?
Well, the humour is now. I mean, he's the whole point of it is that he is at odds with the modern world. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff about 70s comedy in particular that was bad. So there's certain things that, right, I mean, there was some 70s comedy, it was brilliant as well, but we wanted to get away from the lazy stuff early on. Like, so I, you know, I didn't want him to be some, you know, thinly veiled, horrible racist, you know. It was just a, he had to be, a likable character who is, you know, it's not that, he doesn't approve of stuff, it's just he doesn't get it. It just doesn't understand it. So, without giving too much away, there's a, so the, his boss in work is a girl in a relationship with another girl, and he can't, it's not that he doesn't approve of that. He wants to prove that he is a mate and it's all good. But the only person he knows that was a lesbian from the 70s is Billie Jean King. So he just talks about Billie Jean King all the time. She doesn't know who Billie Jean King is. You know, so it's just, yeah, it's a really, I'm really pleased. So myself and a fellow called Paul Doolin wrote the series. And we said, this, we're treading it. This is a very narrow path here. This could easily go wrong. But I'm very pleased with where we managed to plot it. So if you take away all the stuff that is inappropriate now, you haven't got a character. The whole point is that he's inappropriate. I said, but as long as he's doing, the phrase I kept coming back to when I was writing it, he's got to do the wrong things for the right reasons. You know, so that is, I think we've nailed it. Hopefully we've nailed it, because, yeah, you don't want people to, you don't want him to be a bully, or you don't want to be a misogynist. You just got to be a good bloke who is thinking, what's going on? What's this about? I don't understand any of this.
And I think, you know, from what I imagine is that there's going to be a lot of people who watch this who can empathize with that character. Was that intentional?
It was weird. We had a press day in London last week, and a lot of the, I'd say probably 90% of the people there were females. And I wasn't sure it was going to go down, but they all really liked it. They were all sort of women of around sort of 30 to 50. And they all said the same thing. They said, it reminds me of my dad. I said, well, this is good. This is what we need. I want him to be the sort of good side of that childhood that I had, you know. There's plenty of bad stuff about the 1970s. But there's loads of stuff that's brilliant, and I'll celebrate it. And it, to be honest, the 70s is just a, it's almost like a vehicle just to let him explore stuff that really worries some people now. People get their bee in their bonnet about things, and there's no need to. You know, it's okay to say, I don't get this. I think he tries to treat everybody equally. I could swear again, but he thinks there's only two types of people in the world. There's people who are something, and there's people who are all right. And everything else is by the by.
And I think something that I got from Mammoth is how Welsh it is as a project. I mean, you know, it's so Cardiff, and that is just, I mean, it's brilliant to see.
Yeah, well, we didn't want to make it a Welsh comedy. I had ambitions beyond, and BBC Wales have been brilliant, but I had ambitions to take it a network, which is what it's done. And I think it's the first BBC Wales comedy that's gone to network for 40 years or something silly. Because I think Gavin and Stacey started off on BBC Three. But I wanted a show, like I grew up in Wales, but I lived all over the place, but I grew up in Wales, went to school in Wales, my first job's in Wales, got married in Wales, I live in Wales now, you know, and I love Cardiff. There's so much positive, you know, I wouldn't change where I live. And I didn't want it to be a bleak, I didn't want it to be too Welsh. What I mean is that you won't find a coal miner or someone who's in a choir. There's no clog dancing. It's not that sort of old school Welsh. And I didn't want it to be, even though I spent all my summer holidays as a kid in Merthyr Vale, you know, I didn't want it to be like rows of terraced houses and mountains and sheep. Right? I thought, well, this is just contemporary Wales where I live. And I think it's much more of a culture shock for Mammoth if he wakes up in what Cardiff is now, which is a love, you know, it's a lovely modern city. But then we were very lucky because I got to, you know, the cast that I wanted all sort of said yes. We got a great Welsh crew, so yeah, it was a great Welsh crew. It's mostly a Welsh cast. A lot of the people in production are Welsh, obviously. BBC Wales were co-producers of it, co-commissioners. So yeah, I'm very proud that it's Welsh, but I'm also very proud that it is hopefully understandable if you live outside Wales.
And the series is just around the corner from release. What do you kind of hope that people are going to take from it? I mean, first and foremost, obviously humour, but what
that's the only thing really. I wanted to write a comedy that didn't take itself too seriously, wasn't trying to address political issues, wasn't trying to address, you know, a ton of social issues, wasn't trying to challenge people, wasn't trying to make people think about stuff. Didn't want people to be looking on the TV listen to see if it was a comedy or a drama. You know, I wanted people to be able to watch it. You know, you can miss the first 5 minutes of it, put it on, and you think, this is obviously a comedy. This is making me laugh. So that was it. I mean, when we wrote it, that was the number one driver, was let's make the scenes as funny as we can. Let's get as many funny lines there as we can. Let's make the characters as funny as we can. And everything else will come from that then. So I think it's a great story, isn't it? There is a sort of message, and it's just that, you know, it's not groundbreaking. It's just treat people as you'd want to be treated, right? And don't be scared of stuff. A man that's not scared of anything. The fact that he doesn't understand something doesn't bother him at all. And he'll bluster into things, and like I said, he'll do the wrong thing. But this sounds really twee, but I just think people rail against things they don't get, they don't understand, and they get angry about it and they worry about it. Don't. It'll be absolutely fine.
And I think, obviously, you just said there that, you know, to get in as many jokes as possible with Mammoth. Yeah. But at the core of the programme, there is a wonderful, heartfelt story. I'm not going to give away too many spoilers, but why was that important to do?
Because you've got to care about it as well, right? You can't just do a sketch show where it just goes bang, 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 bang. I mean, if it was a sketch show, there's nothing wrong with sketch comedy, but this is not a sketch show. So you have to care about characters. And I think of all my favourite sitcom characters and my favourite sitcoms, you know, you care about them. You might not always like them, but you care about them. You know, there's a bit in the end of The Office where David finally sort of finds a girlfriend, and finally he realizes he just wants to be loved by somebody, right? And when he turns on Chris Finch, that one little moment there, I thought, yeah, go on, David. And I think everyone thought, go on, Dave. And there's little bits like that. You know, you watch, it happened in the Royal Family all the time. It happens in, you got to understand why people tick. So I wanted that story to be, I wanted the story that we're alluding to be part of showing that Mammoth is just a bloke who just wants what a lot of us want, don't we? We just want to be, in my case, I just want to be adored. And no, you just want to be accepted and want.
Can I quote you on that? Can that be the headline of the?
Well, Stone the Roses probably stole that before me, so that's okay.
I think there is obviously scope for more episodes of Mammoth. You've done the three. I mean, is that the intention? Are you planning to make more series?
So we got the next. We've been in a discussion with BBC, and I think if all goes well, it's a big gamble for them. It was a you know, it cost a lot of money, and people's have to tighten their belts at the moment. There's a cost of living crisis and everything else. So I really appreciate that they spent a lot of money on this, and you will see the production values are very high. It looks amazing. People have done a great job. So the conversation we had was that if this goes well and people like it, that they'll commission the second series of six. So rather than give me another three to make a six-episode series, they'll give me the second series of six on the back of that. So that's the ambition. That's what I want for it, is for them to, people to love it, people to laugh at it, and then BBC and BBC Wales to, go with another six episodes, which I've already sort of sketched out, but I'm not going to give too much away.
There's lots of great comedies out there. What makes Mammoth different?
Just better than all them. You know.
There we are.
Comedy's such a subjective thing, right? I wanted to make a comedy that I thought was funny and the people I liked thought was funny. And then people either come towards that or they don't. I mean, whatever you do, you can find people that don't like Fawlty Towers. You can find people that don't like Peter Kay. You can find people that don't like Richard Pryor. You can find people that don't like Gene Wilder. Right? You can't worry about that. You just got to write what you think is funny. Surround yourself with good people, which I did. And then I think if people like it, they'll gravitate towards it and tell their mates, and that's the way that it goes.
Fantastic. Well, Mike, congratulations on the series. As I say, I watched it. I loved it. And from all of us at Wales Online, diolch yn fawr.
Diolch yn fawr. Croeso.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget, you can keep up to date with all the latest TV and showbiz news by subscribing to our newsletter over at walesonline.co.uk.